interested in hearing any of the talks that I've given over the last 6 months. They're all on the web at a site called dharmapunksnyc.podbean. And if you are interested in any of the research that I do a lot of research for my talks in the Pali Canon and the monks that I've studied and libraries of Buddhist books that I have, if you're interested in notes, they're at a blog called dharmapunksnyc.blogspot. So you're welcome to avail yourselves of those two sites if any of this is of interest. So, over the course of life, we very often can go off and attach our pursuit of happiness to all sorts of things that don't generally bring lasting happiness. The mind can get in its considerable and endless fixation on what's going on in the external world. The Buddha said we often look for happiness in praise, people pleasing. Unfortunately, when we attach our happiness and our sense of self-worth to what people say and think about us, we're strapping ourselves in for a roller coaster ride. And when the praise switches, we wind up hearing the blame. You can't ever get praise in your life or become attached to praise without also getting blame. There just is one with the other. Much the same with people who seek fame. If you seek fame, a sense of like renown amongst other people, then you also have to suffer the slings and arrows of obscurity when people don't buy your album or care about your painting or watch your movie or read your blog or whatever. And if we seek our happiness, and of course, in monetary gain, we've all seen what can happen with the stock market or with any investment. We attach ourselves to our careers. Careers have been known to take nosedives out of the blue. Nobody's job anymore is safe, to my knowledge. So, and of course, also with sensual pleasures, our addictions to the things that make us feel good immediately. All of the things we become addicted to in life, whether they're praise from other people or wanting to buy something or food or drugs or alcohol, all these things, they work. They work in the short term. The problem is we develop a tolerance to all these things. We need more and more and more. And they're not dependable. None of these external things that we attach for lasting happiness are guaranteed to work all the time. That's why the Buddha, who was born a very, very rich man, gave up his money and his security, his family, his castle, and he went out with just robes into the forest and was looking for a form of happiness, a source of happiness that was dependable, that wasn't contingent upon other people liking us, how many people we have on our Facebook page or our MySpace or how many people read our Twitter blasts or all that stuff, which is completely contingent on other people. The Buddha wanted a source of happiness that wasn't contingent, that was what he used the phrase deathless. It would never die. It would always be there. It was always available. There was something that would always bring us happiness. So obviously, that form of happiness has to be found within. Because everything in the external world that we attach to for happiness is, to a large degree, undependable. I've known people who become very attached to rock climbing, which is a wonderful thing if you can do it. I can't. I can barely climb stairs. I mean, I've never been able to do those things in the gym class where they did the pegs and stuff like that. I can't. I admire anybody who can do that stuff. I get nervous just looking at the rocks that they climb. But the problem is, you get your sense of peace and serenity from rock climbing. What do you do at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're obsessed with your job or a relationship or something that's gone wrong? Where do you find lasting happiness? Well, you're not going to be able in the middle of the night to suddenly go rushing out and climb a rock. Or suppose you injure yourself. People get injured climbing rocks. I've known people who are, yoga's a wonderful practice, but if we make our entire happiness contingent upon yoga, there are times when we can't do yoga. It's difficult to have a yoga practice where you want to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning when you're obsessed with something, or you're at work and somebody's looked at you askance. Are you going to run to a yoga class? The Buddha's practice was to find something that was always available. And something that you could practice, yes, at work. Something that you could practice no matter where you are. Sometimes we become so fixated on external things that we make our happiness contingent upon blaming others for what we think is our stress in life. And we become caught up in stories, how if only this person at work or only this person in the relationship I'm with, if only they were different, if only they weren't there, if only they would do exactly what I said, I would be happy. I think if you reflect long enough, you'll see that that strategy never works. Whenever that one person at a job moves, they're always replaced with somebody else that people find equally as bad. And if you're in a relationship and you're blaming your partner, you might browbeat them eventually into not doing that one thing, like leaving the towel on the floor or whatever. But they'll soon do something else that will irritate you, or your mind will find it. The Buddha said that for every arrow that life hurls at us, we hurl many, many more arrows at ourselves. Even if in life you ever are in a place, I hope that never happens, where something horrendous happens externally, there's very little we can do to change the world, but we have control over what's the way we react to life. And that's what this practice is about. It's about minimizing the amount of unnecessary stress and suffering we add on to life. We do that often by taking everything personally that happens in life. We think that when we don't get something we want, when we get rejected or abandoned, when somebody runs away or disapproves, there's this feeling, why is this happening to me? In fact, those things happen to everyone. There's nothing personal or unique about being rejected, abandoned, not loved at times, whatever. That's the human condition. So when we reach this place where we're overbalanced on trying to get happiness from other people, from jobs, from careers, from the stock market, from our families, when we're overly balanced, and this is just about rebalancing what I'm talking about tonight. I'm not saying quit your job. I'm not telling you to join a monastery. Please don't. There's nothing wrong with joining a monastery, but if you're sitting here Dharma punks and you're new to meditation, that would be a bit abrupt. The idea, though, is that when we become overly balanced, looking for happiness in things that are undependable, to start again, to begin again, to bring the mind back to places where you can find lasting happiness. This was called Adhidhamma. It's also called Kanti. It falls under two categories of the Buddhist teachings. And Adhidhamma means the determination that we need to find happiness in the right places, the places that are guaranteed to bring us lasting peace of mind, lasting security. The reason why it takes a lot of determination is not only because the mind is set up to constantly worry. The mind was set in place the way it is now 40,000, 50,000 years ago when the world was a very dangerous place. So your mind is set up to constantly worry, constantly keep track of everybody who's looking at you and what are they thinking about you and what's going to happen in your future and how much money will you have when you're retired and all that stuff. The mind is set up to look for threats all the time. So it's very much training the mind to find lasting happiness is about training the mind to do something that is not natural. There's nothing natural about finding lasting peace of mind. It requires practice. It requires lots and lots of practice. That's really what's at the core. That's why it's called a spiritual practice. It's also difficult because, let's face it, the vast majority of the people around you in the world are looking for happiness in their IRAs and in their families and in their careers and in all these places. Again, there's nothing wrong with having those things and appreciating and doing the best you can at a job, doing the best you can with your family. In fact, if you want to find lasting happiness, you have to do the best you can to not cause harm in all your endeavors. But if you are looking for lasting peace of mind, that's got to come from within first. That's where the balance has got to be skewered towards. And we tend to skewer the balance towards the externals in life, towards the outside things. So this is about rebalancing. Now, starting over is often a practice that people resent. They don't like beginning again. When we think of like when we're riding a bike and you fall off and it hurts, or you're learning to play an instrument and you make like a bad note and it sounds terrible. So when we hear the word start over, begin again, be willing to bring the mind back again and again and again to thoughts that bring lasting happiness, to the breath, to working with the body. When we practice this, when we hear the words begin again or starting over, it can sound very frustrating. But every monk I've ever studied with and sat with has always said the key to somebody's spiritual practice is not how effortlessly they fall into tranquility. You might know somebody who, there's some discouraging people who sit down and meditate and instantly fall into tranquility. You'll know them. You'll see them, or you'll project that somebody in this room is that person that you bring, and they seem to effortlessly fall into tranquility, and they claim, oh yes, I always have the most wonderful. That's not, though, the guide or the key or the barometer of one's spiritual practice. The barometer is how willing we are, when we've caught the mind drifting again and again to try to feed off of the things that don't bring it happiness, when we find it feeding off of the junk food, which is worrying about the future, worrying about what other people are thinking about us, worrying about all the, you know, monetary external things in life. When it's feeding off of that junk food that's not going to bring it lasting happiness, just bring the mind back without judging ourselves, without beating up on ourselves, without feeling like we're a failure, without turning it into a story about how lousy a meditator am I. Because that is the practice that in the long term will guarantee you lasting happiness. I can tell you with absolute certainty that people who in the early stages fall very easily into tranquility often find it very difficult later on at certain stages to progress because they haven't developed the energy, viriya, which the Buddha called it, to keep working, keep starting over, keep the mind going back again and again and again. Sometimes we can have a practice that works very well for a year or two, but then we hit something in life that's a real road bump. We might experience a loss. We might experience a traumatic rejection. We might suddenly go into work and get fired. We might suddenly remember a traumatic experience from our past. All sorts of things will happen, and the practice that you might have in place might not work, and you might need to develop a new one. If you don't have in place that willingness to start over, to start your practice, keep bringing the mind back to things that cause it lasting peace of mind. The Buddha said there's four things, by the way, that we become so fixated on that it's very difficult to start over. If you're interested, he said there's sensual pleasures, addictions to certain sensual pleasures. Some people become addicted to food. Some people become addicted to worry or whatever. There's certain sensual states that we become addicted to. Then there's views and opinions. We become so addicted to our views and opinions about what we should be doing in our life. Some people become so convinced that their careers are so much more important than their inner happiness that they work themselves to death. I've known people that have died in their 30s of heart attacks, people who have run themselves into the ground out of sheer stress at their job simply because they have the view and opinion that their work is more important than their happiness. So clinging to that view causes us a lot of difficulty refocusing the mind on lasting peace and happiness. The third is habits. We develop our habits of where we think happiness will be. We keep going to the bar. We keep calling up the ex-boyfriend or girlfriend. We keep going back to that thing that we think will bring us lasting happiness, even though time and time again we see that it's not the answer. The fourth and the biggest roadblock to refocusing the mind is our story of who we are. We tell the story, oh, I'm the person who does this, that. I can never meditate. I can never be happy. I can never be peaceful. I can never sit quietly. I've met so many people who say, oh, I can't sit and meditate for 30 minutes. That's insane. And then at the end of a meditation, I'll say, okay, that was a 30-minute meditation. They'll be like, that's crazy. I can't sit for that long after they have. I've been in yoga classes where students will say, I can't do that position. And the yoga teacher will literally say, you're already doing it. Why are you saying you can't do, you know, that position? You're already doing it. So strong is our self-belief and what we can't do, who we are, that story of who we are, who I am, what I can do, what I can't do, it gets totally in the way of achieving a place of inner peace. So, what is the places that bring us happiness? The Buddha said, time and again, first bring your awareness to your body. When you're even in your day-to-day life, when you're at work, when you're with other people, bring your awareness to the body. See what's going on in your body. Even if there's something insane going around, there's you think that the entire world is falling apart, bring your awareness in for a moment. See what's going on. See how much stress you're collecting in your shoulders, your stomach, your throat. Become aware of just how much underlying stress there is going on. When you notice that, try to relax. Breathe, develop a calm breath. When we develop an internal place of calmness, it's much, much more difficult to react unskillfully to other people. Almost all the time when we do something we regret, when people who have long-term sobriety pick up and use, when people who find themselves dialing pain at 3 a.m, the thing that makes us do this is not some bad news out in the world. It's because we feel stressed and we don't know how to deal with stress. So we spiral out again to the world looking for some solution out there that will make us feel comfortable within. Again, the thing that drives us to act unskillfully often is this underlying state of stress. So even if you think the problem is entirely out there, bring your awareness in for a moment. Find if there's any area that you collected of stress and discomfort and tightness. Breathe. Take 10 breaths, relax the body as much as you can, then return your awareness outwards. When you return your awareness, the thoughts that bring long-term happiness as well are trying to cultivate a sense of goodwill wherever possible, a sense of generosity, a sense of gratitude. So often when we look at the world, we look at the world from a place of, oh, that thing that I don't have. If only I didn't have this thing in my life. If only I had that thing in my life. If only I had a better apartment. If only at my job I didn't have to do this project. If only I didn't have that roommate. Instead of looking at the world from that perspective, try to cultivate a sense of appreciation. Focus the thoughts on all the things you have accomplished, all the spiritual things you've done to help other people. These types of simple things, relaxing the body, focusing the mind on thoughts that don't give birth to long-term stress, like blaming and worrying about the future, worrying about what other people are thinking about us, these types of thoughts will plant the seeds to long-term dependable happiness. Because if you focus on gratitude and generosity, those are things you always can practice. They're always available to you. On the other hand, if you're focusing on the things you don't have, you're focusing on the things that the mind doesn't have. It's quite simple. So finally, the three ways to get this done are: bring your awareness in, watch, learn how to just notice and observe what's going on in the body, learn how then to relax the body, and then use the body that's relaxed, you can relax the mind. A relaxed body gives birth to a relaxed mind. And then try to work with the thoughts that we have to cultivate thoughts and attitudes that will bring lasting happiness. Patience, generosity, gratitude, goodwill, compassion with others. Those are the, even if in the short term they feel frustrating, in the long term, I guarantee you they will give birth to a peaceful mind state. After all, wouldn't you rather live in a mind that's been practicing compassion than a mind that's been practicing judgment or anger or greed? I guarantee you, if you practice compassion towards other people, you'll practice it towards yourself, and vice versa. It's very difficult to live in a mind that judges other people that doesn't judge itself. The mind is a very simple thing. Whatever kind of attitude we practice, we're going to turn on ourselves. So if you've been practicing compassion with other people, you will be compassionate with yourself. And I guarantee you, that's a much more pleasant mind to be in the long term. So that's my talk on starting over. It seemed appropriate for the new year. Now is your turn to share or ask any questions about the Buddha's teachings or what's going on in your life. And then we'll close in about 15 minutes with a short meditation. So thank you for listening. So any questions? Hi.
Hi, I'm Eric. I'm an alcoholic and addict.
Hey.
And I'm very glad to be here. And it's so wonderful to hear you. I